On Friday's Page One, BP sheared off a riser pipe in its latest attempt to stop the oil spill in the Gulf. Now it has to lower a cap over the wellhead. A homicide in Russia shows how justice there serves the powerful. And baseball commissioner Bud Selig won't reverse the call that denied Detroit Tigers pitcher Armando Galarraga a perfect game. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says BP sliced off a riser pipe in the latest maneuver to stop the oil spill in the Gulf. Now BP can try placing a cap on the well to catch the leaking oil. Coast Guard Admiral Thad Allen says the cut was jagged. That means putting the cap in place will be more difficult. BP used giant remote-controlled scissors after a diamond-tipped saw got stuck in the pipe on Wednesday, halfway through the job. BP is also drilling relief wells alongside the damaged one. The plan is to pump heavy drilling mud and cement to bring the blowout under control and seal off the leaky well for good. Friday's Page One also profiles BP Chief Executive Tony Hayward, who's trying to soothe an increasingly angry public. He's frequently underplayed the seriousness of the crisis. On Wednesday, he was forced to apologize after saying, quote, "There's no one who wants this over more than I do. You know, I'd like my life back." In Russia, the 2008 killing of an opposition leader in the southern Republic of Ingushetia touched off protests. Only one man was sentenced and only to house arrest. That was after investigators reporting to Moscow took over and blocked any investigation that could have pointed to senior officials. Times reporter Ellen Barry says it's another example of how justice in Russia serves the powerful. The heir to New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg's political legacy may be his girlfriend. Diana Taylor has been talking politics in her own right. She considered running against Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. She even went to Washington to talk it over with Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and Republican Senatorial Committee Chairman John Cornyn. But Bloomberg voiced reservations, and in the end, she decided not to run. The unemployment rate is not really budging because of people like Regina Miles. She's 51, she lives in Schaumburg, Illinois, and she's been out of work for 3 years. Last year, she went through 150 job interviews. No job offers. This year, she got a $3,000 grant for a beauty school training course. Now she's job hunting again. Times reporter Motoko Rich says millions of unemployed people like Ms. Miles may find returning to the workforce frustrating because too many people are already chasing too few jobs. The imperfect game stands. Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig won't reverse an umpire's blown call that cost Detroit Tigers pitcher Armando Galarraga a perfect game. Times reporter Micheline Maynard looks at the fallout from the whopper by umpire Jim Joyce.
What makes this an interesting story is that it's not just a baseball story, it's a human interest story. And the reaction from both the player and the umpire are really poignant. Of course, Jim Leyland, the manager of the Tigers, came out and vehemently protested the call. But Armando Galarraga just continued with the game, got the last out. Then after the game, Jim Joyce, the umpire, came and apologized. Galarraga accepted the apology, and they hugged. It was what everyone here is saying, it's one of the classiest moments in sports that they've ever seen.
Joyce called Jason Donald of the Cleveland Indians safe at first with two out in the ninth. The video was available to fans who had their iPads with them, but not to the ump himself. That's because Major League Baseball allows only limited instant replays. Inside Friday's Times, a look at Supreme Court nominee Elena Kagan's early views. As Justice Thurgood Marshall's clerk, she wrote hundreds of memorandums during the court's term in 1987 and 88. Those memos provide a rare paper trail. Times reporter Charlie Savage says they cover everything from criminal rights to environmental regulations. They could provide ammunition for conservative critics of the nomination, but it's not clear how the memos reflect her thinking these days. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is looking for $7 billion in spending cuts and cost efficiencies for 2012. He wants to widen the war on Pentagon waste to $37 billion by 2016. Gates delivered the spending guidelines to senior military officers and civilian officials before leaving for an Asian security conference in Singapore. 4 days after a commando raid turned deadly. Israel is continuing to defend its blockade of Gaza, but one official says the Israeli government is exploring new ways of allowing goods to reach Gaza. Israel's Channel 2 television reported that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu wants future aid ships inspected by an international naval force. Netanyahu met with envoy Tony Blair. There was no immediate word on whether inspections were discussed. Times reporter Michael Slackman looks at the reaction to the raid inside Israel.
There is a growing concern that the government here is so focused on these tactical missions that it's lost sight of a much bigger picture. And the bigger picture is, and perhaps more important to its long-term survival, is its international credibility and its international standing. Ever since the invasion of Gaza, Israel has felt that the world has criticized it hypocritically, that what Israel was doing was protecting itself from rockets coming in. Nobody here doubts that, but as I said, there are a small group of intellectuals, academics, who are growing increasingly concerned that for every tactical success that Israel feels that it has, it's losing the strategic battle.
Times reporter Michael Slackman. In Friday's Business Day section, 6 years before being named in the biggest sex discrimination case in history, Walmart got a warning. It had a prominent law firm look into whether it was vulnerable, and the law firm found widespread gender disparities. The law firm said men in salaried jobs at Walmart earn 19% more than women. 7 women took Walmart to court in 2001. Since then, lower courts have ruled that the case should proceed as a class action. But this summer, Walmart plans to ask the Supreme Court to overturn the class certification. In Washington, the finishing touches are being put on the financial overhaul. Friday's Business Day says 57-year-old Daniel Tarullo has become one of the most influential regulators in Washington. Working alongside Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke, Tarullo is now overseeing a review of bonuses and pay practices at 28 banks nationwide. He says re-engineering the regulatory system could soften a future crisis. In Friday's New York report, the city agreed to pay $9.9 million to a man who served 19 years in prison for murder. Barry Gibbs was released after evidence surfaced he'd been framed by a corrupt detective. The case was handled by Louis Eppolito. He's one of the now notorious mafia cops serving life in prison for taking part in mob-related killings. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.